So if you think of your life as a bit of a trajectory, you are now at the college end. And after college, eventually you will all, presumably, go to work. And so I will be speaking about that next stage in your life, and that is perspectives on work. If I were to ask you, why should I go to work? Your answer probably would be to earn a parnasa, right? My argument will be that according to many, many, many Makoros, if that's your whole answer, then it's wrong. Might be surprising, but I'm going to suggest that our Makoros, not all of them, but many of them, project a deeper understanding of the value of work. I will not be addressing primarily the question of how to assess relatively the towering mitzvah of Talmud Torah with the value of work. That will be addressed mostly by Rabbi Soloveitchik tomorrow. I will have a few things to say about it, but that's not my primary focus. My primary focus is looking at what our Makoros have to say about the value of work. There are many values in life, and you have to weigh them. So I'm not at the moment focusing on weighing them, but just on focusing on one particular issue, and that's the question of work. And it's a really important question because, as a matter of fact, when you start working, the huge proportion of your life will be spent while you're at work. If you work 8 hours a day, 9 hours a day, nowadays 10 hours a day, that's a lot of time. Maybe you'll have an unnus nikia vakala and you'll be doing a little less work, but you'll be spending a lot of time at work. What should your self-image be in sense of self while you are plowing the vineyards of an accounting career or doing surgery or practicing the law or whatever? What should you be thinking about from a perspective of our Mesorah as you spend a large bulk of your waking hours engaged in work? That's a really important question, because it's such an important part of your life. It will be. Now you're still in the yeshiva, and you're going to college, and you heard of Sachs speak about college, but eventually, in a couple of years from now, however long it'll be, you'll be spending most of your time at work. What should you be thinking about and feeling about yourself when you're busy in the world of work? That's what I want to explore. And I want to make clear at the outset that in the space of the half hour I have, I can't do justice to the question. And I don't want to oversimplify what is complicated. And most things are complicated. It's the way it is. There is a strand within our Mesorah which has a negative attitude towards work. And you need to be cognizant of that. I think it's a minority opinion. And if you look at the overall Mesorah that we have, the vast majority of Makoros push in various ways in the other direction. But there exists a serious strand within the Mesorah which is a minority, but negative. And I'd like you to take out your books, because I will be learning together with you. So if you get to my section in the book, I hope you all have it. First, Makor I'd like to look at briefly is famous Gemara in Brachas, Lamed Hei Amud Beis. Can't imagine haven't encountered it before. This is the Shita of Rav Shimon bar Yochai. Tan Rabbanan v'yasaf d'ganecha matam lomar. Everybody with me? This is source number 2 in my section of the booklet. Fisha nemer lo yomash sefer ha-Torah zemi picha. Yachol dvarim k'ksavan. Tam lomar v'yasaf d'ganecha. Excuse me, that's the Shita of Rabbi Yishmael. Haneg behen minag d'archaris. Rabbi Yishmael, divrei Rabbi Yishmael. That's Rabbi Yishmael has a more positive attitude towards work. Haneg b'hen minach derech eretz. V'yasafta d'ganecha. You should go out and work. You should gather your grains. But Rosh Hashanah Yechai says, Efshar adam choresh b'shash harisha, zoreya b'shash zoreya, v'kocher b'shash ktsira, v'dosh b'shash tisha, v'zora b'shash harua. Why do you think he lists them all? I got the picture with one or two. Because he wants to hammer home how much time it takes to earn a living as a farmer. You have to be a Zora, and you have to be Choresh, and you have to be Kotzer, and you have to be Dash. He's rubbing our noses in just how much time it takes to be a farmer. Torah Matehel. When are you going to learn? So Rashbi, or Rabbi Yochai, maintains that really you should not work, and when we are Osa Ritzona Shel Makom, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu provides for us. If not, then we have to work, but in an ideal world, we wouldn't work at all. So Rashbi valorizes to the greatest possible extent Talmud Torah, such that it ideally excludes everything, including work. Now, as the Rabbi Yishmael disagrees, it's not clear whether he disagrees hashkafically or whether he disagrees practically. That's a subject of another conversation, but he clearly takes a different point of view. The Gemara's maskana is against Rabbi Yochai. Both Abaye and Rava maintain that one needs to follow Rabbi Yishmael. So halacha lemaisa, there is an advocacy of Rabbi Yishmael, hani b'hem minach daraf eretz shita. Again, not clear whether it's pragmatic or hashkafic, but the overall thrust of the sugya is contrary to the Rashbi in terms of halacha lemaisa, but Rashbi is Rashbi, Rabbi Yochai. That's his position, and it's echoed in source number 3, Kedushin Pei Beis Amad Beis, Rabbi Norai Omer, Meniach and Ekol Amunisha Ba'olam, Ve'eini Malamot et Malamet Esbeni Elator. I'm not going to teach my son anything. Only Torah. Not going to teach him how to earn a living. The only education he's going to get from me is Talmud Torah. And he explains why that is. And you can learn the rest of the Gemara at your leisure. But Rabbi Norai follows in the overall shita of Rosh Hashanah Yochai. I've included in my source book a tshuva of Ramesha Feinstein, who advocates the obligation of working, following the thrust of the sugya in Brachas and in many, many, many other makoros, Shulchan Aruch, we'll see in just a second. And he tries to reconcile Rabbi Norai with the obligation to go to work. And you can look at it at your own leisure. Again, I don't have time to go into it. Or Ramesha tries to reconcile. It's a beautiful tshuva. Somebody asked him, are you allowed to, the very end of my section, somebody, are you allowed to take out life insurance? So not a chasarn and bitachan. Bitachan and Hashem, why are you taking out life insurance? So Rabbi Moshe says, it's an obligation to work, it's an obligation to provide for yourself, and that's not a chasarn and bitachan. That's the way Hashem expects the world to run. How do you reconcile that with Rabbi Norai? And so Rabbi Moshe struggles with it, and he tries to, different times in life, whatever. To me, I think they're just different shitas in the Masorah. I think Rabbi Norai is following Rabbi Yochai's approach. Be all that as it may, you should be aware that there is another shita, which I'm not going to focus on, but it's there. In fact, in some ways, you might say it goes back to Bereishis. The first source, Zeyas Apecha Tocha Lachem. That's a klala. Sounds like work is pretty negative if it's a klala, right? So why revel in work if it's a klala? So that's a whole other discussion, but just to pose the question, I want to jump for a minute. I'm going to come back to these sources, but just to pose the question, look at source number 7, page 3. This is Pirkei Avos, Shemaya Vavtalia and Kiblu Mehem, Shemaya Omer, Ehov Esamolacha. Love work. Now, as the Tosfos Yontif is Medayik, it doesn't say asei molacha, do work. Could have said that too, right? Why did it say ehov molacha? Love it. Why should you love work? That suggests a very positive valuation of the world of work. And how is Shmai Vavtalion consistent with b'zeyas apecha tocha lachem, which sounds like a pretty negative construal of work? You need to think about that. Two quick comments. Again, I don't really have time to go into it, but two quick comments. First of all, you should just know, store it away in your memory bank. The Tas Kenemi Bali Tosfos and the Chizkuni, both in the same school, both say that Zeyas Apecha only applies to agriculture, if you're a farmer. Otherwise, it's not a klal. It's only a klal if you're a farmer. Kind of interesting. But, I mean, more broadly speaking, the question I'd ask you is, when you give tzedakah, are you feeling negative and bad about yourself, or are you feeling good about yourself? Mitzvah, tzedakah, good thing. If Adam and Chava had never sinned and had remained in the Gan Eden, would they have had a need to give tzedakah? No, right? Tzedakah is only a consequence of their having been driven from Gan Eden and having to go work for a living. In Gan Eden, everybody has plenty of fruit to eat. Your fruits are all over. So when you give tzedakah, do you think, oh, it's terrible, Klola, we're out of Gan Eden, oh, yeah, terrible. We think, oh, Baruch Hashem, I've missed to give tzedakah. We live in a post-chet world. The post-chet world in which we live has its own nexus of values, which are ours. We can't judge ourselves by the ideal of what life would have been like in Gan Eden. Gan Eden knows they as a pecha tocha lachem. Okay, but that's not our world. By the way, I discussed this with Rav Sacks, but I wonder, would there have been a mitzvah of Pesach or Sukkos in Gan Eden? There are historical mitzvahs that reflect our fallen state. So there's a famous Beis Halevi about this, an interesting discussion. But al pi pashtus, no. At least al pi pashtus, because, you know, it didn't happen. So when we, you know, Pesach, Matzah, Seder, Sukkah, celebrate, are we feeling bad about ourselves? We're driven out of Gan Eden? No, that's just the world we live in. This is how we are Oved Hashem. So I think that one needs to look in broader terms at work in the context of our fallen world and not in the context of what it would have been like had we been in Gan Eden. But anyway, that's kind of a complicated question. So just bringing it down now to the kind of the central focus. If you look at, I mean, what is our, how do we guide ourselves? We guide ourselves the Shulchan Aruch. So if you look at source 4, quote from the Shulchan Aruch, Simon Kufn Vav, Arachayim, right after the Simon, which says you have to go learn. Then it says, Achar kach yelech la'asaka. The call, Torah she'eni ma'malacha, sofa b'teilav agareris avon psak. That's a psak in the Shulchan Aruch that you should go to work. Not making it up, that's what it says. So work can't be so terrible if it's a mitzvah, it's a chiyuv. Now, what's really interesting is how that chiyuv balances against, as I say, the towering mitzvah of Talmud Torah. So, again, that's a larger discussion, but I can't help but mention two shitos that are right on the Shulchan Aruch. The sheet of the Mishnah Berurah and the sheet of the Aruch HaShulchan. You look at the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah, I think, is fundamentally, at heart, a Rishon by Yochai, Bristol. Recognizes you have to go to work, it's practical. But look what he says. In the Sifkat and Beis, Eliyasa rak de parnasas. Don't earn, don't work more than you need for your parnasa. Ach bezeh gufa tzarech lizar mi pito ya yetzer, shim vateyo shakal yom tzarech ishtadlas ala vachazo. You know, you think, oh, I really need a 10-bedroom house because that's what I need. Don't fool yourself, right? You know, so just work sufficient to earn your minimally adequate parnasa. That's a pretty rigorous, limited definition of the legitimacy of work. It's a kind of a Rashbi model that filters into the psak of the Mishnah Berurah. You should figure out ikar she is bonein ba'atzmo mahu hechrecha miti she'i efshir b'lado, what you can't manage without. Now, we could have a discussion, if we're used to living in a certain environment, a certain kind of accoutrements of life, it may be very hard for you to manage without a car, without two cars, or an apartment as opposed to a house. So there is some flexibility in the Mishnah Berurah, but nevertheless, he's pushing us in a minimalist, limited perspective on life. And I don't have to go into it, but look at the Bir Halacha, follows in an even more extreme way. Now look at the Aruch HaShulchan. Sifkat and Beis also in the Aruch HaShulchan. V'yirali, when it says Yasa Taraso Keva Malachto Arai, Vizevizay is Kayam Biyado, Dizebitam Chacha. When do we say that the obligation to make Malachto Ikar and the Malachto Arai and Torah Ikar, that's only for a Tamacha? Avu Baalbayas Stambo Shayakse. Your average person who's working as a lawyer, as an accountant, as a physician, as a businessman, that doesn't work. Rather, Balstam Balabayas a mutalchi of Raklik Vol Itim Latorah. Because they ate him Latorah. Vyosam Sholom beyond Badin, Kavati Tim Latorah. Dilatam Chakam Shikar Isakobat Asakobat Torah. Lo Shayach Lomba Kavati Tim Latorah. What do you mean Kavati Tim Latorah? You learn all day. So about whom is the Gemara saying they will ask you whether you're Kavati Tim Latorah? It must be an average Balabas. So the Aruch HaShulchan argues that for the average working person who has a career, this model of learning all day with an hour of work sort of is not sufficient. You sort of work at it. Anyway, this is a much longer discussion, and I don't want to get into it too much. I just want to show you that this tension in the Masorah continues. But what I want to do now is look at the question of what is the religious value of work from the perspective of our Masorah. What is the value of work? Ehoves the Malacha. Sounds like there's something to love. So I'm going to suggest to you that there are our Makoros, in effect, take two different schools of thought, I'll say, with respect to religious value of work. What I would call the Sur Meira and what I would call the Aseto. Those of our Makoros that say a parnasa and working is important because it prevents chet, and those which argue that there is an inherent value to work just by virtue of working. So first let's look at source number 6, a Yafa Talmud Torah in Derech Eretz, Shigia Shnei Mishkachas Avon, another important Mishnah which advocates the value of work. It's the Perek Bey, the one I read to you before, Ahovas HaMelachas Perek Aleph. I just want to look quickly at Shitas Rabbeinu Yonah, who summarizes a lot of the thinking that one finds in many, many Makoros. So the Rabbeinu Yonah says, this is again source 6, he says, somebody who is misbatel mimalacha may be also ela oni, that leads to poverty. You don't work? Typically, unless you have a very wealthy father or father-in-law, you may eventually be subject to poverty, and even wealthy fathers-in-law have their limits. So it can lead to poverty. And then he goes on to explain what's bad about that. Ki mipaneha, if somebody becomes poor, ye'ehov matonos lo yichis, sone matonos yichis. He will love to be dependent upon the dole, either parental dole, father-in-law dole, or governmental dole, Section 8, Medicaid, all of the vehicles that the government provides to support people. That's a matana, and sone matonos yichis. That, I think, ultimately erodes our human dignity. You become feel terrible about yourself as somebody who can't take care of himself. He goes on to say, "V'yachdef ne'ada." You are chonev people. You suck up to people. You need to impress people so they'll be nice to you and give you gifts. It's a very demeaning way of living your life. He goes on to say, it can lead to theft, which is, as the Gemara in Kedushin says, an allusion to the Gemara in Kedushin, that if you don't teach your son anumnis, it's ki'ilu malam do listus. The person that's damn a parnasa, he may start cheating. And by the way, just read the newspaper. Unfortunately, you will see how many from Jews have been captured by the need to, their perceived need to cheat. Cheat the government, cheat other people in business. It's a terrible thing. Terrible thing. And he goes on to say, not only that, but he will be over on kol mitzvah sa'amuros b'torah. Avera goreres avera. If you start cheating in business because you need to earn a certain level of income and you're not honest, you know, work hard and honestly and authentically, then that can lead to a general breakdown in your status as an Eved Hashem. Rabbeinu Yonah has very strong words to say about what's bad about not working. If you turn to the next page, source number 8, this is really probably the most powerful collection of Makoros in one place about the value of work, and that is Avos de Rabbi Nosson, which is a Tosefta on Pirkei Avos. I enumerated them, just there are two nuschos, just so you can see how many Tanayim said how many positive things about work. Ehov es hamalacha. So Nuscha Aleph has 7. Altogether, I counted 21 positive statements about work. By my count, that's a lot. If Chazal, different Tanayim, had to go out of the way 21 times, now there's some overlap, so it's not 21 different shittos, some overlap, but 21 collections of positive statements about work suggest that it must have some very significant value to the most important Tanayim who taught us Torah. So just look at a couple of them, and I'll broaden the picture. Nuscha Beis, my source number 11, Rebbe. Rebbe is the author of the mission. Rebbe Yehuda Nasan. Gedolim alachas kol mi shein osek malacha b'nai yadam misichim bo. Minayin ish ploni yochel. You don't work? Well, where did he get that money? How did he buy that new car? How did he get such a nice house? People start talking about it. You're in a bad social position if it's not obvious as to how you go about earning your living. Source number 15. If somebody, Rebbe Meir, says if you don't work during the week, you may end up working on Shabbos because you don't have enough food for Shabbos. So another possibility, a negative to work. Rabbi Yehuda, source 16. Gedol l'malacha she'ein adam meis ela mitocha batala. People will die of boredom. This is a reference to a Mishnah in Ksubis, batala mevi al yidei shiyamum. There's a certain inertia, emptiness, blackness, passivity, crushing ennui, which is a consequence of not working. If you've ever had that experience, it sounds like you're not doing anything and nothing is happening in your life and you feel like crushed by boredom, that is shiyamum, that is terribly debilitating. In fact, one of the Tanayim here, source number 6, Rebbe Ben Becerra says, even if you have no work to do, do it anyway. You know, Himea feels, they're fine. Adam she'ein lo malacha lasos mayase. Somebody has no work to do, what should you do? Yeshal chatzar, chareva, osada chareva, yeilech v'yasasek, but do work. Do stuff. It's bad not to do something. It's bad for who you are as a human being. And you can see that. You know, there are people who are in schnorrers, collect money, and you, if you look at them carefully, you can see that there's a tremendous sense of guilt and failure and emptiness. Work protects against that failure. So we have seen various ways in which work enables one to avoid human failure and chet. So, first answer to the question, why should I work? The answer is, work or parnassa is not an end in itself. It's a means to a higher end, and that higher end is a maintaining our relationship with Hashem. Being a shomer Torah mitzvos. Not cheating. Not being a chalas shabbos. Being a yarei shamayim. Parnassa is not an end in itself. Supporting your family is not an end in itself. It fits into a hierarchy of values in which the highest value is your relationship with Hashem. And we saw all these Tanaim explaining what's so bad about the way in which not working can harm you as a bento, harm you as an Eved Hashem. So that's the Sur Meira model. I want to focus in my remaining few minutes on the Asei Tov model, which I find very, very interesting and very, very important. First one, the first source I'll call to your attention, very interesting, is source number 19 in the Avos Rabbi Nassim. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Omer, Gedol hi malacha shekol umen v'umen yotzei mishtabeach b'umunaso. Work is great because every craftsman goes out and praises himself in his craft. Hatzava yotzei v'ira al ozno. A dyer, person who dyes wool, clothing, or threads, he goes out and he has some undyed thread on his ear. Umishtabeach b'umunaso. And he takes praise in his umanus, in his craft. Halavlar, scribe, yotzei v'al kulmus ba'azna. It's the kulmus, the pen he writes with, Now, the stylus is in his ear. Mishtabeach b'munasa. And there are other examples of the same. Tarsus yotzei v'akarkar al-azno. What this is saying is that people take pride in their work. Why do you think that a scribe walks around with his stylus in his ear even if he's not writing? Why does a surgeon or a doctor wear his surgical or medical garb? Why does an investment banker dress like an investment banker? Is it only to impress people? Maybe. But it's also because that is part of their identity. Your work shapes, in part, your sense of who you are. And if you're proud of who you are, you will be proud of your work. Work, at its best, contributes toward you, to your identity, your sense of self. When I was a graduate student, you couldn't be a professor unless you wore a tweed jacket. Like, that was the hallmark of academia. And you used to go to these academic conventions, and everybody was wandering around in tweed jackets. I think it's a little passé now, but that was the case when I was a little younger. Well, I mean, why do they all wear it? Just to conform? That was just their way of saying, this is who I am, and I have a pipe in my mouth to prove it. I'm a professor. You know, it's just like you're part of your pride. You take pride in your career. And that's healthy. That's good. Now, your identity shouldn't be consumed by your career. That's a travesty. Your most important sense of who you are is an Eved Hashem, a Ben Torah, a Jew, a father, a husband. But it's still healthy to take pride in what you do with your life. It contributes to your sense of dignity. So that's one point to make. There are two other makoros that I think are quite important. First one that I want to mention is source number 10 in the Elvis de Rabbi Nathan. Od ha Rabbi Elezer Omer Gedola hi malacha shekishem shenitztavu Yisrael al Shabbos kach nitztavu al ha-malacha. Shenemer sheish hastama yamim tavu v'yasizakam malach techa. That's mind-blowing. Rabbi Elezer is saying that just like there's a mitzvah of keeping Shabbos, there's a mitzvah of working during the week. What? How do we understand that? Well, how could the Rabbi Elezer render these two similar? What's the comparison, the analogy between Shabbos? How's it related to work? And to compound matters further, if you look at source number one, the right, top right, just as the Torah is a bris, is a covenant, an agreement between Hashem and us, so too malacha is a covenant between Hashem and us. How are we to understand that? How can you compare work to Torah? Seems like a radical disanalogy. So when I thought about this, I thought about bris. What other brisen are there? Bris milah. So I was reminded of, as I thought about this, of a famous Medrash Tanchuma, which is your source number 9 on page 6 of my section. This is a dialogue between Turnus Rufus Harasha and Rabbi Akiva. Turnus Rufus Harasha, Roman leader, opposed Bris Mila as being a corrupting the human ideal. And he challenged Rabbi Akiva with that, and Rabbi Akiva answered. You see where it's underlined? I think it's underlined, right? Hevi lo Rabbi Akiva shibalim ugulos kalos. Rabbi Akiva brought or showed Turnus Rufus Harasha grains of wheat and cake. And he said to him, Amar lo elu, which are better? Are Maisa Bnei Adam better or Maisa HaKadosh Baruch Hu better? And he got Turnus Rufus to agree that cake is better than wheat. You can't eat wheat, but cake is delicious. Now, who made the cake? Did Hashem make the cake, or did Baker make the cake? Baker made the cake. That means that what the baker did is in some ways noed, to use the lashon of the Medrash, over and against what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did in providing us with wheat. Just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a male as an orel and commanded us to circumcise and to improve upon his creation, so too, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created an incomplete world and commanded us to complete the incomplete world he created. It is our human task, and that's the idea of bris, a covenant, a partnership, We human beings are partners with Hashem in the evolving creation of the world. The world was created in Maaseh Bereishis. But the world is not complete. You have to perform a bris milah on a male. You have to make bread. You have to improve the world. You have to carry forward Hashem's creation. We are Hashem's covenantal partners in carrying forward his task of completing an incomplete world. We're partners. Hashem did much of the job. We have our part. When we work, I would argue, according to this sheet that Avos Rabbi Nassan, and that helps explain the parallel between Shabbos and weekdays. Shabbos, we are pure Ovdei Hashem. That's one part of the bris. That's the bris of the Torah, so to speak. During the week, we work. That's the other bris. That bris is our continuing to carry forward Hashem's challenge to us to complete the world that he created, but left by design incomplete because he wanted us to grow up and take charge of the world. Different ways to understand this, but I will conclude with one way framed by Rav Soloveitchik in his famous essay, Lonely Man of Faith. Any of you here ever read or heard of Lonely Man of Faith? I'm sorry to hear that there are so few of you. I hope that you will learn more about it. Very briefly, if you look at Sefer Bereishis, you will see that there are two creation stories of the creation of Adam. First story, creation of Adam. Creation from the very, very beginning. Zachor nekeva bara osam. And there it says, Nas Adam b'tzalmenu kidmusenu. Hashem created us in his image. Hashem is the big boss. He created the world. And then it is our task to carry forward, because we are created in his image, if you look at the next Sipur, there doesn't say anything about Redu, Kivshuha, Peru, Ravu, Miluas Aretz, it's Sesla Avdel Lashamba. Two different stories of how Adam was created, or Soloveitchik says, they reflect two different dimensions of the human condition, what he calls Adam 1 and Adam 2. And Adam 2, which is the later story, is human beings in their questing intimate relationship with Hashem versus being alone, love to Hashemra, that it works so hard, it is a bad relationship with Hashem. But what's crucial for our purposes is Adam 1. And I've quoted for you, I've included in my source book for Soloveitchik's description of Adam 2. Look at those pages, you'll see Adam 2 is, this is a part of our humanity. We are created b'tzelem Elokim. To be created b'tzelem Elokim means to be majestic, dignified beings who, as Soloveitchik says, can cure illness, can travel to London from New York in a matter of hours. We have the capacity to reduba, kivshuha, through our majesty as human beings endowed with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's created the Tzelem Elokim and Hashem's created power. And I would suggest to you that that's one way of thinking about why there's a bris, why work is a bris between Hashem and us. Because this is our human condition, our challenge to be created in Hashem's image and to make the world a better place, to carry forward this creation. We live out the best of our humanity. Now remember, that's only one Adam. The other Adam is Adam 2, davening, learning, shmiras ha-mitzvos. And that's, of course, a favored Adam in Lonely Man of Faith. It's the Adam of Ruchnius, Odes Hashem. But both are legitimate expressions of our humanity. If we are only one and not the other, we fail as human beings. And so what I want to suggest in conclusion is that this way of thinking about work is that work has inherent value. When you go to work, as an accountant or as a lawyer or as a dentist or as a surgeon or whatever you do, you are making the economy work better. You're making your contribution to a business, to whatever it provides, to the way human beings function in the world. You heal. You help. You're a psychologist helping others. You are, in that way, living out that dimension of your humanity in which Hashem partnered with you to complete His creation of the world. In short, work is not an end in itself. It's a great religious value. Surah Merah, it prevents you from sinning in various ways, as we saw in the Ben Yonah. And that's important. We don't want to be chot. And at the other end, it makes us better and fuller people on the Asay Tov model. In both ways, when you sit at work, and in Rich Hashem you will, and you will succeed, you should be proud of what you're doing. Because what you're doing has value, because that's on this Asay Tov model what it is to be a flourishing human being. As Rav Sacks said, the central pillar is always Torah. Everything you do must be around Torah. When you work, you can be Bekad Hashem Shemayim at the workplace. You have to daven mincha. You have to be Kovei Itim while you're learning. I have my son-in-law as a lawyer in a big firm. He has a Seder in the middle of the day with a Chavrusa. Another lawyer in another firm. Torah has to ground and center your day. But that doesn't mean that while you're at work, what you're doing does not have deep, powerful value as Hashem's vision for who we are as human beings.